This is the Indie Dads Podcast. I'm Brian.
And I'm Malcolm.
And we're a couple of dads sharing our journey about bootstrapping our indie businesses while still prioritizing our young families.
Our goal is financial and location independence, but not at the expense of our families, our kids' happiness, or our relationships.
We believe that you can hustle and work hard to build a successful SaaS, freelancer, indie business while still being family first.
Join us as we share our learnings from building our businesses from scratch.
Welcome to episode one of Indie Dads.
Yeah.
We're, as you heard there in the intro, I'm Brian and we got Malcolm here. And we thought we'd kick it off with a little bit of introductions about who we are and what we're doing, why we're doing this. So you want to get us started, Malcolm?
Yeah, sure. Well, my name is Malcolm. I'm from Cape Town, South Africa. If you're watching the video, you would see that the lighting is a little bit dim. It's because it's quite late in the evening, yeah? Family-wise, I've been married for 19 years now. Have three children between the ages of 9 and 14. And currently work full-time as a freelancer and trying to bootstrap a product on the side. How about you, Brian?
Nice. So also a dad, which is probably not surprising given the name of our podcast, but I've got five kids. The youngest is 8, just turned 8, and the oldest just turned 17. So that's super weird because she's in her last year in high school and we're starting to talk about college and stuff like that. And I don't feel as old as that makes me sound. So it's fun though, four girls and one boy. So I've been working full time, since I was out of college. And most recently I was at Amazon for a little over 4 years. In a software management position, leading a team of software developers. And, you know, it's really fun. It's a dream job and everything, but now I'm going full time on my own thing. We'll talk a little bit about that later. Wow. But I'm here in the US, in Arizona specifically, where it's really hot right now. And I'm not a fan of that, but that's okay. Yeah. And that's a little bit about me and, excited to be here. Excited to chat a little bit about what we're doing.
Yeah. So on that topic, we're both trying to bootstrap a product. What are you building at the moment?
A little bit of history. I have tried so many times to launch something. I've wanted to build a business since I was 10 years old. My dad started a business when I was about that age, and he's a software engineer as well. He started an app. Well, at the time, you know, you install it on premises, but it ran front-end reservation systems for hotels. But he started out just being kind of like on-call support, 24/7 type of thing, basically a freelancer, while he built the software on the side. And I watched him do that, and I really had a lot of respect for that because he was able to make his own rules, make his own hours. At first, they were crazy, of course, but eventually make his own hours. Yeah. You know, he had a business partner. They built this thing from nothing. And I wanted to do that. I remember going to the office with him during the summer when I wasn't in school and wanting to do that so bad. I would take the newspaper classified ads and I would go and sit and look for things that I could do at age 10 to try to start my own business. And of course I didn't find anything, but I've had that bug ever since I was that age. So I've tried so many different times and it's always been kind of on the side. I've always been working full time. Obviously, I've got a family to support, and it's just so hard. It's been so hard, and I've had a few successes. In fact, one funny story is when I was in college. This was back in the day when everybody was writing dating apps. It seems Plenty of Fish just came out.
It's something to do when you're in college.
Well, maybe it's because maybe I was trying to find a shortcut to dating someone myself, but. Plentyoffish.com, you know, just came out as a company that was run by one guy with servers in his closet, basically. And I thought, well, I could do that. So I built my own and I launched it. And the way that I marketed it was I took little 3x5 index cards and I printed them, hundreds of them, on my inkjet printer until the ink ran out. And then I went and put them on car windshields and in doors. and I got a few people using the site, and I actually got one person to pay me. Like they just signed up for the full thing. It was through PayPal, I think. And I felt so guilty because I didn't feel like it was good enough to have someone pay for it. I actually refunded them. So the first time I actually had someone pay me was back then, but it ended up being a net zero because I gave them their money back. But a few kind of little things here and there that have made money, but nothing that's let me go full time. And that's always been my dream.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm working on right now. And to answer your original question, my people, I feel like, are freelancers. I love that type of career because, you know, the freelancers are entrepreneurs. I like to think of myself as an entrepreneur, as someone that wants to be independent, wants location or time independence. Yes. They're hardworking. You've got to be smart because you got to do everything yourself. And so those are the people that I want to serve. And so that's what I'm building, is a suite of tools for freelancers to get paid faster, to help them look good for their clients. And I'm still developing exactly what that'll be. I know I'm calling it Freelance Sugar just because, one, it's, I think, memorable. Two, the domain was available. And three, I don't know, it's kind of fun. So you can go to freelancesugar.com right now and see what's there, which is kind of a list of what I think the minimum things should it should have in order to be useful to someone that is freelancing. And so I'm just starting that. I've been working on it for about 5 weeks now, which has flown by since I quit my job at Amazon. And well, I keep telling myself I just need a few more weeks to launch, but we'll see. How about you?
Well, Brian, it's funny you should ask. I am currently full-time employed, as I mentioned, but on the side, so a couple hours a week, I spend time building a freelance app for invoicing. So let's just quickly chat about that. I mean, we're both building bootstrapping to the same target audience. Mm-hmm. And so how did we get to this point of doing a podcast together? I mean, that's a little bit odd, right? You feel like you normally think that people in the same market in competition with each other would like steer clear of each other, right? So
I mean, you're going to steal my idea, right? Or
yeah,
or you're going to steal mine.
In fact, did not tell you.
That's true. So I think it started back when I was kind of kicking things off after I quit my job, and I posted on Indie Hackers. And it was either there or you found me through Twitter and you said, "Hey, I'm building a similar thing." And I thought, cool. Kind of ignoring each other or trying to shoot each other down, you reached out. And I thought, well, there's plenty of space for both of us. There's so much opportunity in this area. There's so many things that could be improved. Yeah. And then you said, well, we should collaborate, not officially, but let's start a doc and like share what we've learned. And so that's what we did. And that kind of got us started. And we've just been talking ever since then. And here we are.
Yeah, I remember you when you first started tweeting, you know, building in public. And by the way, you're doing a much better job than I am, because I started a Twitter thread, I think, in August of 2019. And this will give the listeners some kind of indication of how long I've been building. And that's pretty much all I've done in terms of the public space. But you started to get really public. And I remember you mentioned something about you want to start a podcast, but like talking by yourself into a mic, that's not very entertaining. And I was at about the time, my product is in the App Store. You can go to remotetime.com, one word, and you can download its native mobile apps for now, working on some desktop versions of it. But I was, you know, I'd been building on my own, you know, one or two tweets here and there, but not really getting much into the public space. And I thought, well, you know, podcast sounds like a really non-icky way to go out there and connect a little bit with the community. You know, I've been part of Indie Hackers for a long, long time now, for a good couple of years, kind of looking in from the outside. And, you know, I've always admired these people that are just, you know, they have the time and the courage to put themselves out there and say, look, this is what I'm building. It's not perfect, but, you know, if you want to have a look, just go have a look and give some feedback. So that's where we are.
Yeah. And, you know, as far as motivations for a podcast go, you mentioned that it would be fun, it would be interesting. I mean, obviously it's a good opportunity to get our names out there a little bit, but I think our primary motivation is just to share what we've learned for as sure. we go. You know, there's a lot of other podcasts that I think we're building on top of or leaning on or standing on the shoulders of, as I guess you might think of it. But that's what we really want to do, is just have conversations, talk about what we've learned. It's really, that's what it is.
Yeah, share our struggles like real time, right? I think a lot of podcasts are kind of post-success. So, and there's a lot of value in that. In fact, and that's probably mostly the podcast that I listen to, is people that have done it and they have these, you know, really hard-fought lessons that they get to share. But I remember when I first started out doing the SaaS product thing, I think it was 2016 or something like that. The first podcast I listened to was from the people that did Gimlet Media. Mm-hmm. And I really enjoyed that format where he really didn't know what he was doing. And he had an interview with Chris Sacker, I think, like this really big VC guy. And he didn't know how big this guy was. And he was just asking him really naive questions. And he was sharing like what his wife was thinking at the time. And it was really like fly by the seat of your pants kind of stuff. And I thought, well, that's really, you know, I mean, it's from an entertainment value, it's quite nice, but it's, you know, it's, there's something about going with someone on that journey and having just an eye on the window. And I know there's a lot of people in our space, you know, especially I think with a family twist, I think both you and I have discussed around how important our families are to us and the priority that shapes in terms of what we do on the products on the side. We're really passionate about building product, but you know, fundamentally, that shouldn't be at the expense of the most important thing, which is our relationships. So I think there's a bit of a spin on there in both of us being dads. And hopefully, I think there's a lot of parents out there that have that same passion, but they don't really, like, how do I get started? Or what does that process look like? You know, to come with us on that journey and see where it goes.
That's a great point. And there's this perception that startups are for recent college grads only, or for people living in Silicon Valley. And, you know, we don't see it that way. There's a lot of people that are in our positions that have been either chipping away at it or trying and learning, but not quite there. And all of a sudden you find yourself with a family. Well, not all of a sudden, but you know, you have a family to care for, and they're the most important thing, but you still have this passion for building and for being independent. And really, like, that's what our journey is all about, is, you know, priorities, as far as priorities go, it's always family first, but that doesn't mean we can't be ambitious. We can't work hard after hours, you know, after we spend time with our spouses and our kids, then we hop online and do some work. And that's what we want to share. So I'm really excited to be here. And I think it's really interesting that we're coming from different angles as well. Like you said, you're freelancing full-time and building after hours. And I have been full-time, I've always freelanced a little bit on the side, which is why I respect it, but I've been full-time and now I'm going full-time on my own. But the number one priority for me was always that whatever I do in this journey, it doesn't negatively affect my kids. So except for my oldest few, the teenagers, they don't even know that I left Amazon, because life is the same for them. We saved up enough to be able to basically have the same budget for a year. Once that runs out, we'll have to see. But they don't know, because I don't want them to. I don't want them to feel like, dad's doing this crazy startup thing and we have to now go without shoes, you know, or something like that. So,
yeah, that's an interesting dynamic that you talk about, being responsible for a household. And, you know, on the one hand, it's, you know, I think both you and I talked about our love of transparency, and just, you know, that's part of building in public, is just being really open about everything. But, you know, as a father, you have that concern that you don't, you know, you want your kids to enjoy what you've worked hard for. And you don't want to put this undue pressure on them that, you know, maybe they don't do certain things because they know things might be hard down the line.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want my 10-year-old to have to worry about not doing, like, she's really into cheer. I don't want her to think, oh, should I stop cheer because mom and dad are trying to save money? You know, that's not something you should worry about when you're 10 years old. So
exactly. I mean, but obviously you had a conversation with your wife, though. I'm assuming your wife knows that, that you quit your job.
Yeah.
How did that conversation go? Give us a little bit of a window in there.
Well, I think, you know, over the years, I've talked about this idea and that to the point where she just knows that that's kind of like my passion and probably rolls her eyes a little bit every time she hears a new idea, you know, the next big thing. And so, you know, I've been working at Amazon for a while and it was great. It was a good job. Just like any big corporate job, there's a lot of bureaucracy and things that I didn't like. And I think, a lot of those things started to get to me and she noticed it. And, you know, we went out to dinner one night and I said, you know, I have this idea. What if I took a shot at this full time? Because I've been trying to do this part time for decades at this point. And you know that it's exhausting and I'm tired and it's just, I have a little bit of success here and there, but it's never going to take off for me. Now, some people can make it work, but for me, I think I don't know if I'm lazy or what, but I just, by the time I'm done at the end of the day, three times out of four, you know, I just don't feel like working on my thing.
Yeah.
So I said, the only way that I can really make this work, I think for me, is to go at it full time. We have this opportunity thanks to the Amazon stock price. Not that I'm like wealthy or anything, but yeah, it's, I joined at the right time and I kind of rode that wave enough to where I was able to save up enough. And I said, I could go full time for a year. And we'd still have some savings after that. And we could see if this works. And if it doesn't, then I'll go back and I'll know I gave it a shot and I just, it's just not for me. So, you know, the way we talked about it was, it's really, other than spending all our savings, not all of it, but a lot of our savings, it's pretty low risk. The money's in the bank. Yeah. It's in our savings. It's not like I'm going month to month. At that point, you know, she's always been so amazingly supportive. She said, well, I know this is what you really want. I know that this will make you happy if it works. And this is a once in a lifetime opportunity for you because of the, you know, lucky market timing, I think you should just do it. And so at that point, it just became, okay, well, when is this going to work? What do we do about things like health insurance? I don't blame her. She's not a big fan of change. So I took the lead on figuring all that out and we got it all sorted out. And, you know, really one of the other factors was for the sake of transparency, I don't mind sharing this. I have a pretty big problem with high blood pressure. And so it had been affecting my health. It, you know, wears me out. And it doesn't get worse, or excuse me, it doesn't get better with stress.
Yes.
So work was stressing me out. And that was kind of the thing that triggered me thinking about this. Not that startups aren't stressful in their own way, but at least I feel like I get to control my stress a little bit more. I don't get as frustrated about decisions that other people are making. I can get frustrated at my own decisions. And so, you know, I just had a conversation with my boss and said, I think I need to go on a sabbatical for a while and figure things out. In the back of my mind, I'm thinking, and while I'm on the sabbatical, I'm going to try to build something. But, you know, if it doesn't work out, then I was, quote, on sabbatical and I'll just go back to full-time employment. So that's where I'm coming from.
And if there's going to be a community that you're going to get involved in, you know, the whole freelancing community, should you decide to go back into that field, you would have built up a whole big network of people that you've never met before. And I've just a bit of backstory. I mean, I was in a big enterprise environment, quite senior within the company. We didn't have a CTO. I was a software architect there with two other guys, and we were basically the most senior technical people there. But it was purely an IT function of the company. So they just had a software department that built the software for their maintenance engineers that they sent around the world doing maintenance on these big assets. And I'd always been building things on the side. So I was building like a golf score manager app. And my wife was always like, why are you wasting time on that? It's just fun. And then I came, you know, just started with an idea that I thought, well, this has real economic viability. And I got stuck into that world. And around about that time, I think Buffer had just started, and they have like this amazing transparency about the way they run their company. And it's like, wow, this just really feels like where the world is going. This decentralized, remote first, software as a service, you know, that just scales so well. You know, that's where I feel I want to go. And I try to do that internally within a company, but I very soon found that was like trying to turn the Titanic. You know, it's like big enterprise companies, and you tell them about SaaS and consumer business models, and they don't, you know, that's not really the top of their priority. So I had, was it like an inflection point of, well, if I'm really serious about doing this, I need to get stuck in that world. And I think at the same time, I was interviewing for a chief product officer at a different company. But that also involved like 2 hours commute a day and that kind of thing. So I thought, well, I want to do this software as a service thing, but, you know, my most important priority was always family. So I don't want to go from having a 10-minute commute to having an hour commute one way. So luckily, being in the third world country, you know, the dollar goes fairly okay over here. So I was able to, I guess, take a lot of my friends were like, what are you doing? You're quite senior. Now you're going to work as just a normal developer. So, but that's what I did. I got a remote job at an American company. It's paid about the same as what I was getting at my previous job, that could pay the bills, and it's fully remote. So win for the family, first of all. And I was getting experience from the inside, right? A software as a service company, finding out how things are going. So yeah, that's pretty much where, I guess, and there's a bit more history, and I think we can go maybe in a different episode into the, like the back, because there's a whole like story around, I was pitching, the owners of the company I was working for that product that I'd came up with, and they were going to invest, and we went through a whole round of like, I needed a certain amount for a runway of about a year, and I needed 5 resources, and everybody was on board until they started talking money. And then basically it came down to, well, you're on your own and you only have like a year's salary, if that, and you quit your job tomorrow and you have to go. And I just made me take a step back and think, wow, you know, because originally I was on that VC train. You know, you come up with this idea and you're so excited, and how do I make this product work? And, you know, how did the Facebooks do it? And how did, you know, so I was into the whole startup accelerator scene, who was doing what there, and investor money. And I think the whole challenge of a big enterprise company saying, no, you're on your own, you've only got a little bit of money, it made me take a step back and realize, well, you know, that doesn't really align with my priority. Why are they in this? They're in this for a return on investment. I'm in it because I want to exercise my creativity and build an environment for my family where that's flexible, that I can be there for my kids when they, you know, have a football game, or, you know, have that kind of flexibility, and not have to ask permission to take time off, or how much time do I have off, or whatever that is, and just to be able to run my own thing. So that was really an inflection point for me. So, well, okay, VC is definitely not the way I want to go. How do I bootstrap something, right? And I guess that made me realize, even if it takes much, much longer, which it has, I mean, I think I've been building on remote time for 2 years now, and only really in April, I released a version that had, you know, the paid features with subscriptions and everything from the App Store. So it took me that long to get to that point. But I was happy to wait. I was happy to be patient. And as you mentioned, it does take a certain amount of discipline to say, well, you know, all the kids have gone to bed and the wife has gone to bed, and it's 10:30 in the evening, and it's Monday, and I'm really tired because I didn't get that much sleep from playing Fortnite over the weekend. So do I really want to? And, you know, it does take a certain amount of discipline to get to your desk. And thankfully, I really enjoy coding. I love mobile apps. So that's, I think that's also important. You know, what you do, you have to have some kind of connection to it, have a passion for it. As you mentioned, I think I agree, you know, the freelancing market is just, you know, being a freelancer myself, I got to scratch my own itch, and I'm invoicing to my company using my own software. So yeah, it's a slow road, but I think, you know, long term, I'm glad to say I haven't sacrificed anything on the family side. And it's not all roses, because I mean, in the beginning, I think there was a year or two where I was spending weekends, like most of Saturdays, working. But my wife and I had that discussion and said, well, we need to make a decision. Like, this is not an unending agreement here. You can do this for a year and then we have to make a plan. Or it must be very clearly going somewhere. So that's kind of the discussion that we've had in terms of how do we transition from being a full-time enterprise level going up on the career ladder to full-time bootstrapped doing your own company. So that's kind of, I think, the pattern that I've seen that mostly matches where my life experience has been, where people have transitioned from full-time jobs to freelancing to earning enough to have a little bit of spare time to work on their own products and kind of grow and scale it from there.
Yeah. So let's talk about goals. You kind of talked about this a second ago, but what are your goals? Like, what do you want to get out of your startup, your company that you're building, or your app? I guess also, since we're on the topic, this podcast.
Yeah, so I think, I've talked for a lot. Let's throw that question back to you.
Sure, Brian. Sure.
What are your goals? Let's give my throat a rest a bit.
Honestly, maybe I'm just naive or too altruistic. I just want to help other people. I'm not sure if I'm going to succeed or not, but maybe if I don't succeed and somebody learns something from it and they do, cool. That's what I think is fun. That's why I enjoy listening to other people's podcasts. They're just doing it because... I mean, maybe there's some hidden marketing motive. I don't know. Maybe I'm just too naive, but I think that people are generally good in this kind of area and in this community, and just want to share. Yeah. And that's what I want to do as well. You know, so there's no hidden motives for me. I don't really mind if our audience remains small or if it gets big or whatever. I just want to share what works, what doesn't, and hopefully somebody learns from that. And as far as you know, my business, my hope is really independence. I'm just tired of working for big corporations where other people are making decisions that I think are silly. I want to be able to make my own decisions, my own mistakes, my own time, spend whatever time that I want to with my kids. You know, there's this extra big investment up front. It's where it requires maybe some extra time to get it off the ground. But my hope is that eventually it'll even out a little bit and I'll be able to have that independence, both in terms of time, location. I want to be able to go on vacation when and for how long I want to with my kids, or stop in the middle of the day and go to my kids, you know, performance or at school, or, you know, things like that. So it boils down to independence for me.
Yeah, I think you and I both have similar goals in terms of that. I mean, just from building a product point of view, you know, I'm okay if this turns out to be not full-time. I mean, that's the number one, right? If that turned out to be full-time, I'm not looking to build a couple hundred people company. If it turns out that the end state was a company of five, I don't think I'd ever want to build it alone. I really like collaboration and, you know, talking around strategy, and I really get a lot of fulfillment out of collaborating with other creative people. But I think, you know, I'm really passionate about building product and making something useful. So if it turned out at the end of the day that it was a part-time thing and it's bringing in a little bit of money to pay for kids' school fees or for a holiday in the year or something like that, I'd be content with that. I think in terms of the independence, you know, there are companies, especially in this day and age, and COVID has done something to accelerate this with the remote culture that has now gained so much acceleration over the last 2 years, in that there are companies out there that give you very close to the kind of independence that normally you would only get by running your own business, where you start to see people bring in things like take as much leave as you feel comfortable taking, just be responsible for you know, your area that you're working in and make sure that you're offering value to the company. You know, and you get that creative space where you're working in a small team and delivering product to a meaningful product to people that really care about what you're building. So there's different degrees. But yeah, like you say, number one prize is that to exercise that creativity. Now, I think people that are not in software development sometimes are surprised at how similar creating software is to for me, it's like an artistic discipline, whether you're painting or playing music. There is a surprisingly large portion of software developers that are musicians, that are artists and painters, and I don't think that's coincidence. You know, and as an artist, the ultimate thing is to be able to create your own thing, something you can call your own, or something that you've collaborated deeply with other people on, and that you have creative freedom and direction over, and that should like mesh in with your life and with your family, and it shouldn't have to be a compromise on either side of that fence.
Yeah, and there's different types of startups, you know, or startup founders. They're the ones that want to build an empire, and that's fine. You know, those are the ones that tend to go the VC route. For me, that's not attractive because having a bunch of investors is just like having. I mean, it's just like working for someone else, but it's your own. I guess you own the company and maybe there's more upside, but I don't want to work for someone else. I want to work for myself. So for me, that's not as interesting. Building product for me is interesting and it's fun. I love to code because I've been doing it for a long time. But ultimately, what I want is to build something that helps people. Again, maybe I'm too naive and maybe I'm just being altruistic, but I want to build something that people actually appreciate and that, you know, helps them look good, helps them make more money so that they can have more independence. It all kind of comes full circle. And I do want to go full time. I will not mince words about that. My goal is to go full time, or to stay full time. Right now, I'm basically unemployed. I hope to get to the point where I'm self-employed when I make $1 or more. But right now, I'm unemployed because I haven't made a single dollar. So we'll see how far that goes. So we're at about a half hour into the show, and one of the things that we had talked about was keeping it around this amount of time, but let's talk a little bit about structure, things like that. I mean, this first episode might be a little bit longer as we kind of lay the groundwork for what we're doing, but what are your thoughts on structure, frequency, things like that?
Well, I think as we mentioned, this is primarily about just sharing our journey and kind of like the lessons that we learned along the way. My hope is that we'd get a little bit of interactivity with anybody that's listening. Mm-hmm. So just a quick plug, if you guys want to send in questions, then you can send an email to hello@indiedads.com. And we just want to hear stories, and maybe you've got some similar stories to share. That'd be great. But I think we talked about the structure. We'd be sharing our progress, like what we've done since we've last talked, the things we're struggling with. Like today, I've struggled almost all day to try and get an Android time picker to have a custom colors and theme. It turns out between API levels, it's not so easy. Just those daily struggles. And then hopefully we can pick up on a specific topic. So we'll be talking about remote work. We'll be talking about founding a company. What's that like from within the States, from being a foreigner? All the kinds of topics that go into running a business, because it's not just writing software, right? It's not just writing code. There's all these different facets and building an audience. Brian, you're really getting stuck into that at the moment. just like share real stats. I mean, I can, for example, share that I think since April of the release, I did subscriptions. I think I have maybe 5 or 6 users of the app and 0 customers. So that's going to be interesting to see whether that goes up after, a couple of different exercises and trying to move that needle. Let's see where that goes.
Yeah. So a little bit of accountability, a little bit of story sharing, and we'd love to, like you said, include other people's questions, curiosities. And honestly, we just love to hear from you if this resonates with you. It's good to know that. That we're not alone and that this resonates with other people as well. So cool. Well, anything that we missed that we should talk about before we wrap up?
No, I think that's good for the first episode. There's only one last thing that we have to do, Brian. You know what that is? It's the Indie Dads podcast.
Yeah, I forgot, but you go ahead. You go first. I think that you've probably got something prepared for the sound of it.
Oh, of course I did. So just to fill the listeners in, what we decided to do is just as because this is the Indie Dads podcast, we just thought we'd end off every episode with something a little bit fun. So there's nothing more fun for dads than dad jokes. So
it depends on how.
I suppose if you're not a dad or you're not 5 years old, maybe you don't find it so funny. In which case, you feel free to press the stop button on your player if that's not your thing. But yeah, I think the idea is that at every episode we come up with something, and hopefully we can make people laugh in the car on the way to work or something, give a little joy. So here it goes, Brian. What's the difference between Dubai and Abu Dhabi? The people in Dubai don't like the Flintstones, but the people in Abu Dhabi do.
Oh, gosh. If you can't see me, I'm doing a facepalm right now, which means that it's a good dad joke or a good joke, period. You know, I forgot to come prepared, but something you said earlier reminded me of like this weekend, because it's a Monday right now when we're recording. There's a little lake by us, and I've got three dogs. You know, they're kind of little dogs, but I've been trying to take one of them out for a walk every once in a while. And there's these crazy ducks that like sit on the pond. And anytime I come, I don't know what it is about my dog, but they just attack her. They just come flying after her. So we have to go running. I've tried different times of day. I've tried, you know, different paths. And no matter what we do, they just attack us. So I guess that's what I get for having a purebred dog.
That's a good first one, Brian. I'll give you that.
I don't know. It took a while. It took a while for you for that laughter to kick in. I might have to work on that.
Well, I think all that's right. Kind of the point.
All right. I'll work on my dad joke game, and I think we're good to wrap it up. So.
Yeah. So just quickly, I think in terms of frequency, the original plan was you should expect something every 2 weeks. Is that what you decided on, right?
Yeah.
So I think that gives us enough time to kind of run into a bunch of problems and think up of things to talk about and go Google that next dad joke that hopefully is funny than the previous week. Then we'll see you guys then. If you enjoyed this episode and you want an easy way to support us, we'd love it if you reviewed this podcast on whichever platform you're using to tune in. If you'd like to ask a question, you can send us an email to hello@indiedads.com or message us directly on Twitter. You can also find us at indiedads.com, where you can see show notes, links to our Twitter profiles, and product websites. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.